Before we start this episode, we would like to take a brief moment to honor the victims of the NSARS movement, to our brothers and sisters whose lives were taken away from them on October 20th, 2020, and those who died beforehand to senseless police violence. We have not forgotten you, and we will continue to fight for justice for you, and we will continue to work towards a better Nigeria. Rest in peace. You're listening to Unsolicited Yarn with Faith, a podcast about everything and anything. Pure vibes, pure cruise. Let's get into this episode, baby. Disclaimer, all views on this episode are to be taken as political opinions. What is happening, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Unsolicited Yarn. I'm so excited for this episode. I have a special guest here with me, my bestie, Marianne. Marianne, say hi to the people.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, you guys. Marianne, I love Marianne. Marianne keeps me on my toes. She keeps me motivated. Everybody needs a Marianne in her life.
Period.
So we're going to get straight into the topic for today. I know you guys saw this, the name of the episode, and you're probably like, is Faith smoking crack? I'm not, I promise. So let's just get straight into it. Before we get started into the topic, we're going to talk about SARS. So, Marian, can you explain to the people what SARS is?
All right, so SARS is, and it stands for Special Anti-Robbery Squad. Mm-hmm. And it started in Nigeria in 1992 mm-hmm. by retired commissioner of police, Dunladi Madinda. Mm-hmm. And the whole entire operation was created to combat cybercrime and robbery in Nigeria. And the whole thing was kind of like similar to what you have in America as the FBI or CSI.
FBI vibes.
Yeah, that kind of vibe. So they were meant to be undercover, disguised, no weapons, mm-hmm. not even a walkie-talkie. They're meant to just blend in with the general population and keep things under control. Mm-hmm. And it started off in like in a few states in Nigeria. But now, like in the later 90s, it spread to all 36 states.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, they all have weapons now. Mm-hmm. So all the protocol, lost. Mm-hmm. Accountability, zero. So the whole movement, when the whole NSARS movement happened, is because of all the rubbish and the shootings and everything that mm-hmm. happened with SARS because of the lack of accountability and the centralized, you know, power.
Okay. So how did we get to NSARS? Like, the question is, like, how did an organization that started out as something that was supposed to be for the people become against the people? And also, how did it get to a point where it was only majority in the South? Because from what I heard, SARS is not really in the North like that as much as it is in the South and like Lagos and, you know, even Abuja. I heard it's there, but not as much as the other like southern states and all of that. So how do we get to end SARS? Like,
so if you are very familiar with Nigerian history, mm-hmm. there's a popular robber, like armed robber named Shinarambo.
Yeah.
And he was based in like the southern area of Nigeria. Mm-hmm. So I believe they kind of just focused all that power on people like him mm-hmm. and people that, you know, Yahoo boys and all that. They're mostly based in the western and southern regions of Nigeria.
Yeah.
So I think they just kind of pushed all their attention to people in the south. Mm-hmm. And obviously, of course, because of the government in the north, there's a lot of governmental power, political power. It's just like really saturated in the north. So I think they were like, no, straight up.
Okay. So now it's October 2020, mm-hmm. right after Nigeria's Independence Day. And Fowles and Shega Link and a bunch of people start the NSARS movement. So now we're going through it. We're protesting. We're out in the streets. Mm-hmm. Vendors. The energy's high. Everybody's like, yes, change is coming.
Yes.
You know, we're excited. Young people out. Mm. Express to other states. Celebs hop on. Whether for clout or not, we don't know. But they hopped on. and we come to October, I think the 21st or the 20th, I can't remember
20th,
the exact day.
Yeah,
20th. Mm-hmm. And the Lekki massacre happens.
Yes.
Ugh. Who sent the order? We don't know. We're still asking till today. Mm. But on that day, the Lekki massacre, somebody, we're saying somebody, quotation marks, they sent out an order to shoot people's children in dark. Mm. they sent out an order that everybody should be home before, was it 6 p.m.? If you know Lagos, that is impossible.
Impossible.
They sent out that message around maybe 1 or 2, if I remember correctly. So they had about 4 hours. I mean, just to even get home in Lagos, you can spend almost 8 hours in traffic. So the Lekki massacre happened. It was a brutal time. We mourned. We still mourn about the people that their lives were lost. And we thank God for the brave people like DJ Switch that showed what was actually going on. Because I felt like it was in that moment that people actually realized, yo,
this stuff is real.
This junk is real. Like, you know, so, and then let's go into how we came to this episode name. So we're talking about it in the group chat later on. And we were saying, Marianne was saying how Nigeria has an elitist culture and NSARS is part of it.
Yes.
And I was like, at first I was like, Marianne, what are you saying? But then after a while, I sank in. I was like, ah, this babe actually has a point. So may I explain it to the people?
So yeah, we all know, we've established the fact that Nigeria is elitist, it's classist. You know, it's about who you know, it's about what you wear, what car you drive, where you live. And so with NSARS, that movement seemed quite elitist to me because Nigeria has several other issues we're all aware of. However, it's as if it's until it affects me personally or someone I know, then that's when it matters. That's when something needs to happen. Because I live in the northern part of Nigeria and I experienced a lot of terrorist attacks. I had to move from where I lived to America because of that. So when I saw what was going on, all the tension, all the media and all the panicking, all the stuff, which is obviously warranted, I was like, dang, where is this energy when they're killing people in the north, when they're killing people from Plateau State, from Benue State, they're killing, the Fulani herdsmen are killing, Boko Haram are killing, they're kidnapping people, they're bombing churches.
Yeah.
I would wake up to the sound of a bomb in the morning, Sunday morning, they're out there bombing Christians are worshiping. Where is this energy when, you know, things like that are happening?
Yeah.
It's because it's happening to poor people. It's happening to people that live in outskirts area. People that have, you know, no say or what's going on in
social media influence
in the government, anything like that. So I was like, this is quite elitist because it's affecting people who have a stance of some sort, whether you're a celebrity, whether you're an influencer, or you just have money. It was like, okay, it's really close to me now, so it needs to stop.
Yeah. And so if I'm listening to this episode and I'm like, but terrorism and SARS, it's not, can it be compared? And I would say yes and no.
Right.
Because Nigeria has this, like, I don't know, it's like a weird mentality, like, you know, concern me until it concerns me. So, for example, in the NSARS movement, a lot of the northern elites and leaders, even the normal northern people, they were saying like, oh, NSARS is not a problem for us here. Or SARS is not a problem for us here, sorry. Yeah. And that's their problem. And somebody from the south can say the same thing about up north and they're like, that's their problem too. So that's the problem in Nigeria. It's always, that's their problem until it becomes your problem. Which is what we're seeing right now with the southern states in Nigeria where the herdsmen are coming in. We're seeing a breathing civil war that's rising slowly because we did, that's their problem until it became our problem. So right now, we're suffering for something that we should have unified long ago before that. And now, you know, you see people hiring like
private
people to secure them. And it shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be like that at all. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Nigeria, I would say Nigeria is an elitist culture. So, Amiran, what do you think about that?
I definitely would agree with you. As we said earlier, we've established that. And it goes both ways. Not just, oh, because people are massacred, like he told Gabe, that means it's elitist. No, when people are killed in the north and they don't, and we're not paying attention to that, that's bad. And when people are getting killed in the south and they don't pay attention to what's happening in the south, that's bad as well. So we're calling out everyone, literally. We're just saying, stop only caring about things that don't affect you.
Yeah.
When it only care about, oh, it's happening to my brother or my uncle or whatever. Like, literally people will be like, I'm not going to talk about NSARS. I have people back home that are not affected by it, so I'm not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk about Boko Haram because, I mean, those are Hausa people. I don't really care about it. Like, that's not bothering me. Everyone needs to wake up and stand up. those of us here in the diaspora, whether you're in America, England, Canada, wherever you are, stand up for what's going on in your country. Mm-hmm. We're Nigerian for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, so don't just only care about something that's affecting you directly.
Yeah.
And obviously, with the government that's not doing anything, they're just they will frustrate
that's
your
a whole
life,
other podcast episode.
You know,
yeah.
It's a whole other episode, but it's a call to action.
Yeah.
Don't only care about things that only affect you.
I agree. And the last people I would say that are elite is the Nigerians in the diaspora. Mm. Oh my gosh. Like, bro, I cannot, I have conversations with people and I'm like, how can you be that out of touch with what is going on back home? Like, you at least have some kind of family member back home. I don't care if all your family's here. There's somebody there that your parents still care about. Mm-hmm. And I see NSARS, because people were reposting, mm-hmm. that's why it was huge. But if you looked at a couple of days ago, mm-hmm. there was about how many kidnappings? They kidnapped 300 girls from a school. Mm-hmm. There was another one where they killed a group of people. This is all happening in the north.
Yeah.
Or right now people don't know that in Igbo land, like a lot of Igbo territories, mm-hmm. the herdsmen are taking over there.
Yes.
They're burning down people's livestock, livelihoods, and
their marketplaces.
Yeah, and these are like old people that don't have anybody to fight for them. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, okay, SARS is an issue. Mm-hmm. I understand that it affects, and I think that's why a lot of people in diaspora hopped on it, because when we go back home during Christmas, mm-hmm. a lot of us experience when we're going to do Dirty December.
Yes.
A lot of us experience
the harassment.
Yeah. And that's why it hit home for us. Exactly. But something shouldn't have to hit home for you to talk about it, to deal with it. We should be giving the same energy we gave Chibok girls to the girls that got kidnapped, to the people that die up there, to the Christians that get killed every day in the north, to the grandmas that are having their things burned
down. You know, Nigeria has moved up to, I think, number 6 in the entire world for the most persecuted Christians.
Wow.
We've moved up. Christians are being persecuted in Nigeria like no man's business. Mm-hmm. There's an agenda in that country mm-hmm. to move it to a military state, and to an Islamic state, and it's by force. You know, stand up for, even if it's not affecting you directly, even if you're not a Christian, those are your brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Stand up for what is right.
And that's the thing, because you'd be like, you know, some people, they were like, okay, well, yeah, it's turning into a state, that's good. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, these things always come back and turn around. Mm-hmm. It starts with that, then it goes into, you know, other religions, and it goes into other things. That's just how it works in Nigeria.
Yeah.
If you don't think it will affect you, baby, it will come back around.
It will definitely come.
And it'll hit you straight in the face.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is our call to action for everybody. Mm-hmm. Be in touch with your communities.
Yes.
Know what's going on back home. I was talking to somebody yesterday and they were asking, like, how do you stay connected? There are news pages you can follow. Instagram makes it so easy to connect back home. I'm not saying you have to do anything. Like, you know, we're in America. There's only so much you can do if you're in America or in the diaspora. Mm-hmm. But be connected, sympathize, share, update people, be involved. Because at the end of the day, if it's not affecting your family there, it will very soon. And I'm seeing that very evidently with my family. Okay. Like, oh, that's a northern problem. Now it's becoming everybody's problem. Yeah. So, yeah, we're coming to the end of this episode. Marianne, just tell the people where to follow you, where to see you, what you're up to.
I'll be up to everything, but you can follow me on Instagram at Uzumani. That's UZUMAANI.
Mm-hmm.
And I have so many other pages. When you go on my Instagram, you will see that I'm so involved in
everything. Yeah, this is the aesthetics queen. You guys, you learn so much on her page. She even has a vegan page.
Yeah, I have a vegan page.
She teaches you how to make matcha tea. Maria has introduced me to a whole life that I didn't know about.
Yes,
but we're coming to the end of this episode. Thank you so much for watching. I hope your mind was open. I know you guys were even coming to this episode ready to fight me, but I hope God has calmed your chest small. And I'll see you on the next episode of Unsolicited Yarn. Bye, you guys.
Bye.
So, our small business shout out for today is Charisse T Clothing. So, imagine you walk into an event and you see like 7 babes with the same exact dress on as you. Ah! Anyways, this will happen if you shop at Charisse T Clothing, okay? She has cute pieces for affordable prices, and the best part is that it's Black owned, okay? So, the website is charisse.com. Go shop and tell them I sent you! So that's it for this episode of Unsolicited Yan. If you have any questions, comments, or reservations, don't forget to hit us up on our various social media platforms or email us. And don't forget to share with your friends too. See you next time.